As we begin reading scripture and listening to the sermon, let's begin with a prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, when once again we become aware of your majesty and mystery, we realize how little we know about you and how little we even know you. By the power of your word and spirit, inspire us today to give all that we know about ourselves to all that we know about you. Empower us to be open and eager to keep on learning and following and being your faithful, loving disciples. We ask this in the spirit of Jesus, who is our companion, teacher, and Lord. Amen. The story I'm about to tell falls into the category of church legends I have heard. A pastor arrives at a new church. On her first Sunday, she preaches an inspiring, captivating, compelling sermon. Afterwards, the congregation is delighted, expressing their appreciation to her at the sanctuary door, giving her rave reviews at Sunday brunch, and calling up the pastor nominating committee to congratulate them on what an excellent choice they've made. The next Sunday, the pastor preaches the very same sermon. Naturally, the congregation is a bit surprised, but the general consensus is that was such an excellent sermon, it didn't hurt for us to hear it a second time. On the third Sunday, you guessed it, she preaches the very same sermon again, word for word. This time, the congregation is restless. Some are even outraged. Can she sing only one note, many ask. Does she know only one truth? A delegation is formed to talk with her. When they meet, the pastor explains, when we start living that sermon, I'll preach a new one. When you hear today's scripture reading, you may think that I too can only sing one note. The third Sunday in May, I preached a sermon on this very same text. But I promise you, today's sermon will not be the same. For years, the French Impressionist Claude Monet painted again and again the same water lilies in the same pond. What changed was the weather, the time of day, the color and the contrast created by the sunlight, where he placed his easel on the shore. All of these variables made each and every painting unique. The same is true for scripture. Since this text was heard read in worship last May, I've changed. You've changed. The world has changed. Our circumstances and perspectives have all changed. And all of these changes transform how you and I understand and hear God's revelation to us today. There's also the fact that usually there is more than one truth in a single scripture. Certainly this parable of Jesus that we are about to hear again is a story about forgiveness, but it's also about something more. It is about forgetfulness and ingratitude. Listen now new for God's word to us. Jesus teaches, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, the one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This parable is about a servant who has been forgiven a multi-million dollar debt. Immediately after his debt has been erased, he encounters a fellow servant who owes him a measly 20 bucks. Because he doesn't have the cash readily available, the first servant has him thrown into the slammer until he can pay his entire debt. Studying this parable again has caused me to wonder, how could this forgiven servant be so forgetful about how much he has been forgiven? How could he be so ungrateful and so unforgiving? Then I remembered my experience at a pastor's retreat several years ago. At the closing worship service, each of us was asked to pair up with another person and share where we needed prayer. I began by sharing my mental list of needs, complaints, and worries. My partner listened intently. When it was her turn, she began in the exact opposite way. "I need help," she said, "to remember and to thank God for all the good things in my life." She then proceeded to enumerate her blessings. Only at the end did she talk about some of her challenges and worries. Hearing her prayer request caused me to reflect and to remember a valuable lesson that I still often forget. Many times I am like this forgetful, ungrateful servant in today's parable. Now, I know this parable is primarily about forgiveness, but it is also about forgetfulness and ingratitude. The reason this servant doesn't forgive his fellow servant his measly little debt is because when he sees him, he immediately remembers what is owed him and completely forgets what has just been given to him. With tunnel vision, he focuses on what he doesn't have and fails to see all that he still has. I don't know about you, but I do this a lot. I remember people's criticisms and complaints much more than I do people's compliments. I'm much more likely to see and obsess about the scratch on my car door rather than to be grateful that I can afford to have a car with a door. Frequently, my needs, worries, and complaints to God far, far outnumber my thank yous. And when I realize this, suddenly this forgetful, ungrateful servant becomes very understandable and real to me. In another way, aren't we all like this servant? Aren't we all in debt to God up to our eyeballs? The very first verse of Psalm 24 reads, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." This verse reminds us that everything we are and have come from God. We owe God an unrepayable debt for our lives, our health, our talents and our intellect, our family and friends, our faith and friendship with God. In reality, we are beholden to God for every good thing in our lives. Have we forgotten this? In my first week as a student at Princeton Seminary, the dean spoke at a meeting of all the new students. He asked how many of us thought that our tuition, books, room, and board were expensive. Every hand in the auditorium shot up. "They are expensive," he replied, "but even at this price, all of you are charity cases. The greater church, our alumni, our underpaid professors, administrators, and support staff are all making tremendous sacrifices to educate you. Please make good use of your time while you are with us." Think about all of the sacrifices that our parents have made for us. All the teachers, coaches, Girl Scout leaders, youth advisors, and friends who have helped us along our way. Aren't we all charity cases? Have we forgotten this? Now, I know this may shock you, but the first presidential election that I voted in was in 1964. One of the campaign slogans that year was, "Please, Uncle Sam, I'd rather do it myself." Have you or I ever done it by ourselves? Especially during this pandemic, think about our hospitals and schools, our health and public safety workers, our firefighters and garbage collectors, our farmers, truck drivers, and grocery clerks. What kind of life and community would we have without them? Have we forgotten this? In the spring of 1968, Marion and I spent 2 weeks in Russia. Once somebody approached me on the street wanting to buy my jeans and shoes. However, what seemed to interest our hosts the most was the possibility that we Americans might be Christians. On four separate occasions, people asked if we could give them a Bible. When was the last time we even opened our Bible? Have we forgotten how Christians through the ages have encountered the living God just through these written words? This parable about forgiveness also reminds me just how much I have been forgiven. Frequently, I do not live up to my own expectations and ideals, much less God's. Yet because of the life and teachings, death and resurrection of Jesus, I know that I am loved and forgiven, even though I'm still very much a work in progress. Whenever I think about how much God loves and values me still, this makes a tremendous difference in how I feel about myself and how I strive to live my life. However, much of the time, I still take for granted God's unconditional acceptance and grace. One summer Sunday, many years ago, a couple approached me after worship and volunteered to teach the senior high Sunday school class in the fall. Normally, this is an answer to prayer. To have anyone to volunteer to give up their Sunday morning to teach Sunday school is a miracle. Usually, I'd sign them up immediately with no questions asked. But this time I hesitated. 6 months earlier, this couple had lost their only child in a car accident. Now, I've seen lots of hurt and tragedy, but I don't know of anything that hurts more than having something happen to one of your children. Naturally, this couple was still grieving. The class they had volunteered to teach was John's old class, filled with John's friends and full of John's memories. So in response to their offer, I said, "Well, we still do need teachers. Can I drop by your house sometime later this week?" And we talked about it. 3 days later in their living room, June explained why they had volunteered. About a month after John's death, a fellow teacher stopped by her classroom after school. "I don't remember what she said," June explained, "but she let me know with her tugs, her hugs and her tears, how much she hurt with me and how much she cared for me." About a week later, it suddenly dawned on me that my friend never had any children of her own. And then on more than one occasion, she mentioned that this was her greatest disappointment in life. "It's taken us months to realize this," said June. "And often we still don't feel this way. But we are beginning to see what a gift John was to us. Yes, we wonder why we still had him for so short a time. But at least we had him." we still want to be around kids. And teaching this class is one way we can thank God for giving John to us. Here was a couple in the midst of their loss and grief who could still remember what they had been given. This is faith, gratitude, and generosity at their best. Yes. Two Sundays from today, you and I will have another opportunity to focus on all that God has given to us and to say thank you. On the last Sunday in October, we will have the opportunity to decide how much of ourselves and our gifts we are going to return to God through the work of this church. When we do this, I hope we will respond with gratitude and will express our gratitude by sharing a significant percent of our family's income. Notice I said percent and not amount. Whenever the Bible speaks about us sharing our financial resources with God and others, it never, ever speaks about an amount. And this is because our God is fair. We are not all asked to give the same amount because we don't all have the same amount to give. We don't all have the same income. And especially during this pandemic, some of us may have very little income at all. God does not expect us to share what we don't have. All God asks us to do is to share what we do have. So please, in the next couple of weeks, just figure out what percent of your family's income you are presently giving to God and others. And then, if possible, out of gratitude, try to grow in your percentage giving to this church next year. Now, if you think that is a lot to ask right now, please don't forget. God has given us a lot. God has forgiven us a lot. God has answered our prayers a lot. God has loved us a lot. God has loved us so much that God gave God's only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is generosity at its best. May you and I respond with grateful generosity as well. Please pray with me. Lord, help us to count our blessings. Help us to name them one by one. Help us to count our many blessings. Help us to see what good you have done. Then with grateful hearts, help us to share these blessings. Amen.